Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis.
And I'm Peter Sagal. So now we know who we have to thank for the greatest leak of government secrets in decades. Was it an aging spy, tired and cynical, wanting to come in from the cold? Was it a high-ranking officer, horrified at the orders she had to carry out? No, but before we tell you who it really was, let's take a second here to say the IT staff at NPR are the finest, bravest people in the world. We'll tell you why we know, plus Bill Curtis responds to the Guild of Anchormen's accusations that he has given away their secrets.
I never gave them bleeping information. Nothing.
We'll tell you who's really so tight-lipped on our quiz coming up right after this hour's news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Korva Coleman. A Senate panel has released newly declassified information on two controversial intelligence programs run by the NSA. The information says the data collection helped the U.S. break up potential terror plots in the United States and overseas. Fewer than 300 phone numbers were checked. In Turkey, clashes between police and protesters continue in several neighborhoods in Istanbul. The BBC's Chris Morris reports police are using water cannons and tear gas to disperse anti-government protesters near Gezi Park.
Here at the heart of the protest, if you like, Gezi Park has been completely cleared of protesters. There are riot policemen sort of sitting in the shade of trees, and any sign of the tent encampment that was there for more than 2 weeks until yesterday has gone. But we are getting reports of clashes in roads leading up to this area. Down on the old grand shopping street of Istanbul, Istiklal Caddesi, there have been clashes there and tear gas has been used. And in other areas, protesters trying to reach Taksim Square in Gezi Park have clashed with the police.
The BBC's Chris Morris reporting. Authorities in Iraq say at least 30 people are dead and dozens are injured from a series of attacks. NPR's Kelly McEvers reports from Baghdad the bombings targeted mainly Shiite areas.
Officials say two bombs placed in parked cars targeted the central city of Kut in an industrial area where construction workers gather. Two more bombs struck the southern city of Basra. There was also a shooting in the northern city of Mosul. Violence has increased sharply here in Iraq over the past 2 months. More than 2,000 people have been killed since the beginning of April. Violence like this has not been seen since the sectarian war of 2006 and 2007. Analysts say the conflict next door in Syria is giving Sunni insurgent groups a new confidence in Iraq, and some Shiites are fighting back. Kelly McEvers, NPR News, Baghdad.
Iran's stock market rose today after voters surprised conservatives by sweeping a moderate cleric into the presidency in the first round. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports that President-elect Hassan Rouhani calls it a victory for wisdom and moderation.
The unexpected scenes of overjoyed Iranians taking to the streets to celebrate Rouhani's victory suggested two things to Iran watchers. First, that the Iranian public, even after years of seeing pro-reform movements crushed, continues to vote for change, even when the ballot is dominated by conservatives. And second, Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei had no wish to revisit the mass street protests and harsh police crackdown of 2009. He never revealed his own choice for president, and the government quickly announced Rouhani's victory, eliminating any fears that the vote count might be subject to political pressures. Whether Rouhani can moderate Iran's policies remains to be seen, but for now the celebrations continue. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Istanbul.
You're listening to NPR News. The White House says it is open to North Korea's idea of high-level talks, but the Obama administration says it wants credible negotiations that will lead to a nuclear-free North Korea. North Korea suddenly proposed high-level talks with the U.S. last night, but the proposal comes just after the North called off high-level negotiations with South Korea. The U.S. says that it will discuss North Korea's offer with South Korea and with Japan. The National Hockey League's Stanley Cup championship is tied after two games. The Boston Bruins netted an overtime goal against the Chicago Blackhawks in Game 2. NPR's Mike Pesca reports it was made possible by brilliant goaltending early in the game.
The Blackhawks had a 1-0 lead after the first period, but they had outshot the Bruins 17 shots to 4 in that period. Boston goalie Tuukka Rask, who faced 34 shots in all, would not let another piece of vulcanized rubber slip by him for the rest of the game. With a bit over 6 minutes left in the first period of overtime, Daniel Pierre's wrister beat Blackhawk goalie Corey Crawford for the game ender. This is the second straight year that the first two games of the finals have gone to overtime. Prior to last year, it had been 61 years since the first two games included a bit of bonus hockey. Boston hosts Game 3 tomorrow night. Mike Pesca, NPR News.
And it's Game 5 tonight of the NBA Finals. The San Antonio Spurs will host the defending champion Miami Heat tonight. The best of seven NBA final series is now tied at 2 games apiece. Miami won the last game Thursday night with a 109-93 victory. I'm Korva Coleman, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Cancer Treatment Centers of America, proud sponsor of StoryCorps, preserving history and celebrating American lives.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm legendary anchorman Bill Curtis, filling in for Carl Kassel, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. We do have a fun, I agree with you, because we got a fun show for you today. We got Buzz Aldrin, one of the first two men on the moon. He'll be joining us to play our game later on. But first, we just want to dedicate our show to our hero, our inspiration, Kanye West. This week, he gave an interview to the New York Times about his art, and everything he said just spoke our truth as well. Like, what is Kanye West's, and really our, life motto?
Complete awesomeness at all times. Awesome truth and awesomeness. Beauty, truth, awesomeness. That's all it is.
Let's just meditate on that, shall we? And while we're doing that, give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Let's welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Wynn, and I'm calling from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Hey, how are things in Cincinnati?
Cooler, finally.
Yeah,
it's over 90 Monday.
Oh, wow.
Well, we're entering the cold season, so you should be good,
yeah,
Wynn.
Be good. Well, Wynn, welcome to our show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, a comedian and director whose latest movie is Willow Creek. It's Bobcat Goldthwait.
Hi, Bobcat.
Next, a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning and host of Entertainment Weekly's Daily News and Notes show on Sirius XM, Faith Saley.
Hello.
And lastly, the man behind the Too Beautiful to Live podcast, Luke Burbank, is here.
Hey, Wynn.
Hi, Luke.
Well, you are going to start us off with Who's Bill this time, Wynn. Bill Curtis right here is going to read you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you'll win our prize, Carl's voice on your home answering machine. That would be Carl Kassel, of course. Are you ready to play?
I am.
All right. Now, your first quote comes from a man who had a house in Hawaii, a well-paying job, and a girlfriend.
I'm willing to sacrifice all of that. because I can't allow the government to destroy privacy.
That was a man named Edward Snowden talking to the Guardian newspaper this week. Snowden is hiding out after doing what?
After revealing the government's...
the government's Hotmail password.
The Verizon data dump.
Yeah, the NSA data. The NSA government snooping. Yeah. Snooping. It was Snowden, a 29-year-old IT guy for the NSA, who revealed that the U.S. government is basically keeping track of all of our phone calls every day. Not that there's anything wrong with that. USA! USA! USA!
Yeah. Well, that's a first for a public radio audience.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
You know what? This guy has to be a patriot to leave behind a pole dancing girlfriend in Hawaii.
Well, that's the thing. As Faith said, the girlfriend that he left behind, Lindsay Mills, is an accomplished ballerina and, quote, pole artist who moved to Hawaii to live with him. 2 months later, he flees to Hong Kong and becomes the world's most notorious whistleblower. So we're figuring this wasn't so much a noble act of civil disobedience as it was the most elaborate breakup the world has ever seen.
Yeah.
He fled with 4 computers and a Rubik's Cube, people.
What does that say to you, Faith?
I just love that fact. You're thinking, I'm going to leave my homeland forever. What do I want to take?
The girlfriend?
No. My cube.
Rubik's Cube.
I think something that he sort of couldn't have seen coming was that this is apparently not registering very much for the Chinese people. I mean, granted, Hong Kong and China are together but a little separate. Right. But on the Chinese equivalent of Twitter this week, it was not even in the top 10 of the stories people were interested in. This is
really?
A
Truly?
Real thing. Yeah, because think about this. You go to somebody in China, you go, you will not believe this. The government is looking at what you are doing.
Yeah.
They were fairly nonplussed.
Yeah, I understand. When here is your next quote, it's one of those short bios people write for themselves on Twitter.
Wife, mom, FLOTUS, hair icon, pantsuit aficionado, glass ceiling cracker, TBD.
That was someone who made front page news just by joining Twitter this week. Who was it?
Sounds like Sarah Palin.
Well, the key description there is FLOTUS.
Yes.
Okay. Michelle Obama.
Pre-Michelle, post-Lady Bird.
Yeah. Significantly post-Lady Bird.
Is Hillary Clinton.
Yes, Hillary Clinton. Very good. Newsflash. Middle-aged woman goes on Twitter, says nothing interesting. This is news because everything Hillary Clinton does is seen as a move toward the White House. For example, the last thing she said in her little bio, TBD, it stands for To Be Democratic Nominee for President. It's one word now.
I can't wait for her selfies.
Oh, that'll be awesome.
She's also getting a lot of grief about the opening of her bio because I believe it starts by saying wife and mother.
Yeah.
It doesn't put
She changed
her,
it after it was posted because it did say mother, wife, and then she changed it to wife, mother.
Meanwhile, Bill says, it's complicated.
Yeah.
I think she's handled herself really well in a lot of sort of tough situations.
Yes.
So I would like it if she can maintain her poise even now as she's entering the world of Twitter. Like, I'll be sad if next week she's in a Twitter beef with Amanda Bynes.
That would be...
Now, you know, Snowden's girlfriend, she was also a glass ceiling cracker.
She was. There was that one incident at that particular club.
She didn't measure the pole in her head.
Here, Wynn, is your last quote.
I never gave him bleeping information. Nothing. I bought bleeping information. I didn't sell it.
That alleged mobster was striking down allegations that he had been an FBI informant. His high-profile trial began in Boston this week. Who is it?
Whitey starts with a B.
It does. Hey, this is the mob. You just need the nickname. That's fine. It's Whitey, Whitey Bulger. Yeah, okay. Whitey Bulger. Very good.
Wow.
The trial of the legendary mobster, who was the inspiration for Jack Nicholson's character in The Departed, started in Boston this week after a lengthy jury selection process. Prosecutors had to find 12 people in Boston who weren't related to or threatened by the defendant. Now, Whitey Bulger's brother, of course, was a leading politician in Massachusetts and thus the black sheep of the family.
He was a politician with the last name Bulger?
Yeah.
That rivals Anthony Weiner.
It does.
He's 83 years old, right?
Yes, Whitey he was Bulger in the land for many years.
Yeah. 83 years young.
Yeah, apparently. What do you really do to a guy who's 83 years old? Okay, we're going to put you in a place where they bring you three meals a day. They let you out occasionally for exercise.
Yeah.
That's where most 83-year-olds are at this point,
well,
right?
It's slightly bigger than your apartment in Santa Monica.
He had disappeared for so many years that, of course, he got quite old. So now it's weird. It's like you have this guy who's accused of all these crimes, and he looks like your grandpa. The only difference is that when he plays I Got Your Nose, he really had your nose. Bill, how did Wynn do in our quiz?
She got 2 out of 3, which is a win-win.
Oh, very nice. Wynn, thank you so much. We want to remind everyone to join us here most weeks at the Chase Bank Auditorium in beautiful downtown Chicago, Illinois. For tickets and more information, go to WBEZ.org. You can find a link at our website, waitwait.npr.org. Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Faith, the U.S. has been trying for years to get Colombian drug gangs to put down their guns and abandon the drug trade. Well, they think they've finally found a way to reach them. They will be delivering a message of peace through what?
Song and dance?
No, that would be fun. It is a form of entertainment.
Oh, okay. We, the U.S.
We, the U.S.
We're delivering a message of peace to Colombian drug lords.
Wanted to stop it.
Through entertainment.
Yes.
It's not pole dancing.
And it's not pole dancing, which I know somebody who's looking for a new opportunity, too, so it's a shame.
It's not song and dance.
No.
I'm running out of entertainment genres.
Let me try to do it for you. Here we go. Like powdered cocaine through the hourglass, these are the days of our lives.
Soap operas.
Even the most hardened, vicious Colombian drug lord takes an hour out of his busy murder schedule to watch his stories. You know, soap operas are huge in Latin America, as you know. So the U.S. Army is creating a 20-episode soap opera, or telenovela, with characters that convey anti-violence messages and, quote, furnish functioning state institutions, unquote. It's a terrible mistake, though, to expect people to learn morals through soap operas. I mean, for example, they'll all believe it's okay to kill people because they all miraculously come back 6 months later.
Are they going to hire, like, real actors in Colombia to do this?
Yeah,
or are they going to have, like, U.S. military do it? Because that would be unconvincing.
That would be very... Yeah. If, like, there's a Marine in a blonde wig.
Yo soy Ramon.
Yes, sir, I've always loved you, sir. Coming up, what's new, Pussycat? It's Bluff the Listener. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. And Kobo, creator of the Kobo Arc, a tablet designed for readers, available at independent bookstores. Store locator at indiebound.org. Esurance, an Allstate company, with an app that lets users manage their policies, update payment info, and handle claims at esurance.com. And Ally Bank, who believes in getting more from your news and your money, offering money market accounts. Learn more at allybank.com. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis, filling in for Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Bobcat Goldthwait, Faith Saley, and Luke Burbank. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Bluff the listener game. Call 1-888 Wait, Wait to play our game in the air. Hi, everyone. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, Peter. This is Randy Granger calling you from Durham, North Carolina, though I live in Las Cruces, New Mexico.
Las Cruces?
Si.
So what are you doing in North Carolina, then?
Well, I'm learning the various ways that the body can sweat.
I understand, yes.
No, truthfully, I'm a musician, and I'm doing some touring down here in the South.
That's awesome. Oh, wow. A musician on the road. What do you play?
I guess the best way to describe it is I'm Native American world music meets steampunk with a dose of Leonard Cohen.
Another one of those bands?
Oh, God. Yeah. Randy, it's nice to have you with us. You're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is Randy's topic?
Meow.
What's wrong with that topic?
Just to be clear, that was Bill. That wasn't an actual cat.
No, I know. Cats are mysterious animals. While purring and licking your face, they're probably plotting your murder. Our panelists are going to read you three stories revealing the secret lives of cats. Guess that true story that we found in this week's news, and you'll win Carl's voice on your home answering machine or voicemail. Ready to play?
Awesome. I'm ready.
All right. Let's hear first from Bobcat Goldthwait.
International Space Station is plagued with a rodent problem. To be more specific, a small group of escaped rats that were being used on board in lab tests have begun chewing through important electronics equipment, and being rats are reproducing baby rats at an alarming rate. NASA's solution? To train a ragtag team of tabbies on how to hunt and kill rats in zero gravity and send the bloodthirsty felines up into a space station on a killing spree. The cats, who are all rescues, have been spending as much as 2 to 3 hours a day on NASA's zero-gravity jet, also known as the Vomit Comet. The cats spend their time chasing laser pointers and catnip-filled rat doppelgangers while floating around in weightlessness. NASA officials say that the experiment has so far been a success and expect to launch the cats into space soon. No explanation on how an anti-gravity litter box works.
Cats in space. Cats being trained to go up to the space station to take care of the mouse problem. Your next story of what cats are really up to comes from Faith Saley.
A furtive feline named Freya, who belongs to England's Chancellor George Osborne, has been causing some caterwauling at Downing Street. Because the kitty has been pussyfooting around the most secure area of the Foreign Office, inside the Cabinet Room, and has even tried to break into the Treasury, she's accused of being a spy. Perhaps the spy who licked me? Freya's stealth ubiquity is rubbing some government officials the wrong way. The reason? Freya vanished 2 years ago and then mysteriously walked back into the Chancellor's life, thanks to a microchip under her skin carrying Mrs. Osborne's phone number. What else could be hiding under her skin? Quote, "Some of us think the Chinese got her," said one Tory source. "You'd only have to bug her and you could find out half the government's secrets." And in a move worthy of pussy galore, Freya fearlessly crosses four lanes of traffic to get to a Westminster watering hole called the Red Lion Pub. Barmaids regularly escort her home to 11 Downing Street at closing time. Presumably, she likes hers shaken, not purred.
A cat accused of espionage. The corridors of power in England. Your last story of a moonlighting feline comes from Luke Burbank.
Jillian Raftery of Coral Springs, Florida, thought it was just one of those weird, inexplicable things. For about 2 years, when she'd put photos up on her refrigerator or on her bulletin board, they'd eventually go missing. But it wasn't every photo, just the ones where she was doing something unintentionally weird or kind of funny. A picture of her peeking out of a giant IKEA box, looking confused. That disappeared, as did the one where she'd gotten drunk and was wearing a pair of Crocs on her hands as if they were feet. Anyway, the whole thing might have stayed a mystery if not for a remodeling project in her condo that involved opening up a wall. A wall that her cats, Theo and Professor Bananas, long story, had been using as their personal hangout for years, sneaking in through an air duct. You see, there in the wall were all these dumb pictures of Jillian. And even more strange was that you could tell that the cats had been moving the photos back and forth between Theo's part of the inside of the wall and Professor Bananas. We see this occasionally in our studies, says Michael Ausich, Dean of Veterinary Medicine at the University of Idaho. Simple, unsophisticated animals, entertaining themselves for hours and even days by staring at humorous photos of humans. Thank God we've evolved past this sort of simplistic visual stimulation. For Jillian's part, she's just happy to have the photos back. I mean, what kind of an animal even does that? Those were just pictures of me living my life, doing my thing. Who gave them the right to make some sort of giant joke out of them?
All right, then, here are your choices. From Bobcat Goldthwait, cats being trained to hunt mice in space in the International Space Station. From Faith Saley, a high-placed cat in England being accused of espionage because of its mysterious absence. And from Luke Burbank, cats discovered swapping pictures of us doing amusing and foolish things. Which of these is the real story of a cat with a secret this week?
You know, cats are capable of anything, but between the space kitties and the spy kitty, I think I'm going to have to go with Professor Bananas, those little stealing the photos.
You're going to choose... So you're going to choose Luke's story of the cat taking pictures or stealing and trading pictures of their human owners doing silly things, like peering out of boxes for their own amusement.
I just can't see cats in space. There's just too many wires and cords around. So.
All right. Well, we spoke to someone familiar with the real story.
Cats are not known for being especially trainable. I might suggest that the British really want spying animals. They invest in cyborg beetle technology.
That was Emily Anthes. She's the author of Frankenstein's Cat. And she was talking, of course, about the spy case involving the Chancellor of the Exchequer's cat in the United Kingdom. That, of course, was Faith's story, which was the real one this week. Yeah, although there was something sweetly just, I will say, about Luke's story. I wanted to believe it was true, too, so I can't.
I really did.
You've earned a point for Luke by lying so effectively. Thank you so much for playing, Randy.
You're very welcome.
Bye-bye. And now the game where we reward a lifetime of preparation with a quiz that you simply cannot prepare for. You know that Neil Armstrong was the first man on the moon. But the guy in all the pictures from the first moon landing, that's Buzz Aldrin. So here's a lesson for you all. It doesn't matter if you're the first guy out of the spaceship, just as long as you make the other guy hold the camera. Buzz Aldrin was the second human being to stand on the surface of the moon. We are so honored to welcome him to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Hello, Buzz. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
I'm glad to hear. So obviously, we want to start by talking to you about that experience coming in 1969, landing on the moon with Neil Armstrong. You stepped onto the lunar surface, second human being in history to do so. What was the first thing you did when you set foot on the moon?
Well, I've told some people this, but we had just prepared for a longer stay, so we had emptied out the urine bags that we had around our waist.
Yeah.
And so I felt pretty confident in relieving myself since I had the urge.
Sure. So the first thing you did
on the moon...
was have a tinkle?
Pretty close to that.
Yeah. No. So I have to ask you about this because this was a famous thing. You and some of the other Apollo astronauts have been dogged by these people who are convinced that you faked it somehow. And there's a famous video of you actually being sort of entrapped by one of these guys. Can you tell us what happened?
Well, he wanted me to sign his big Bible and swear on it that we did go to the moon or we didn't go to the moon. I wasn't sure what he really wanted, but when I refused to do this because he was just playing around, he started calling me a liar and a cheat. I didn't really care for that. So we went back and talked about it a little bit, and I looked for the right moment, and I popped him one in the jaw.
I mean, I've seen this video, and I always assumed it was an act of passion, for which I will not blame you, that you're just like, I just punch this guy. But you actually said to yourself, I'm going to punch him in the jaw as soon as I get a moment. Okay,
no,
now.
It was a lot more instantaneous urge to do that.
Yeah, I can imagine.
He just kind of pissed me off.
Yeah, wow.
Do you know, Mr. Aldrin, do you know if this man you punched, if he filled his urine bag?
Now, what's interesting is you've one of the dozen men who've walked on the surface of the moon, and according to your new book, you're in no particular hurry to go back.
Who said that?
Well, I thought you did.
Oh, you mean to go back to the moon?
Right.
Well, no. I've done that once. Why would I want to do that again?
But one of the things that I've noticed you're a fan of in your plan in your book is you actually like the idea of space tourism.
Well, I do, because that gets the interest of the public up so that they're paying attention to things that take a long time to develop.
Go ahead.
There are a lot of people that evidently want to do that.
And won't space, though, get ruined with all the tourists?
I don't think so. There are a lot of people that get interested in something, and they hear about it, and they read about it, and then they watch it happen. And that's why I had quite an interest in a lottery, because you'd interest a lot of people, and then just a few would win a chance to do something. But the Unilever company Axe has come up with a scheme where they acquired 22 flights in a suborbital company called X-Corps, and they've distributed those internationally to thousands of people.
So you're telling me
the body wash?
Yeah, that the next
That's
step
right.
in our exploration of space will be led by Axe body spray. Have you ever, Buzz? Have you ever met anybody who would knowingly buy and use Axe body spray? And are these the kids we want to be sending into space?
You
think?
Yeah, a lot of people are familiar with it. Sure, they like for it to attract young ladies to them.
You realize that they're going to get up there and they're going to try to open the window so they can wave back. You know that, right?
So, well, they may try to do that. That probably wouldn't be a good idea.
Yeah. Well, Buzz Aldrin, we are honored to talk to you, and we've asked you here to play a game we're calling
Drop Your Pants and Take a Bow.
You've been to the moon, and we believe you when you say that. But what do you know about mooning? We're going to ask you three questions about exposing one's buttocks for entertainment or political purposes. If you get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle's voice on their home answering device, whatever it may be. Bill, who is astronaut Buzz Aldrin playing for?
Valerie Williams of Gorham, Maine.
All right, Buzz, you ready to do this?
I'll give it a try.
Okay. The first recorded instance of mooning happened when? A, the year 1120, when 40,000 Chinese warriors mooned their enemies in perfect unison. B, the year 1460, when the French crown prince responded to an offer of marriage he did not favor. Or C, the year 80 AD, when a Roman soldier in Rome did as Romans had never done before.
I think it was the Roman soldier that wanted to do something that had never been done before.
You are right. It was the Roman soldier, 80 AD. According to the historian Josephus, Flavius, the Roman soldier mooned a Jewish pilgrim. The other pilgrims got upset, and a riot ensued. Next question. That was very good. Sometimes mooning can be a terrible idea, as in which of these incidents? A, when a protester at President Nixon's inauguration happened to pass gas at the wrong moment and was charged with trying to poison the president. B, when defenders at the medieval Battle of Crecy mooned the British and forgot about the British archers. Or C, when scientists at the South Pole posed for a group moonshot. And four, ended up with frostbite.
I would think that the folks at the South Pole did a pretty stupid thing. It's called. Yeah. I'm not surprised that they got a little frostbite.
So you're going to go for the scientists at the South Pole?
I think so. Why not?
No, actually, the answer was B, the great arrows in the butt incident at the Battle of Crecy.
Oh.
That was recreated, kind of, in the movie Braveheart, you may remember. All right, this is your last question. One of the great mooning performances of all time really took place in October 2011 when what happened? A, the entire MIT football team arranged themselves so their bare buttocks spelled out the symbol for pi as seen from above. B, when a protester ran pantsless alongside Queen Elizabeth's motorcade, clutching an Australian flag in his buttocks for 50 meters. Or C, a Pennsylvania high school debate team's reenactment of the Lincoln-Douglas debates went quite differently than the original.
I'd have to go for the Stephen Douglas debates going differently.
I do like that idea. So the idea is that they staged the Lincoln-Douglas debate, and instead of eloquent discussions of the problem of slavery, they just turned their backs to each other and lowered their pantaloons and said, "Aha!"
Yeah, that sounds like high school kids, what they do.
I would believe you, but sadly, it was, in fact, B, the protester who ran for 50 meters next to Queen Elizabeth's car in Australia, clutching the Australian flag in his buttocks.
But you can't run that far with the flag between your buttocks.
Have you tried?
That was the first place for the flag on the moon.
Yeah. Bill, how did Buzz Aldrin do in our quiz?
You know, I think we should give Buzz all three, don't you?
Yeah, right. Who am I to argue?
Sure. Yeah, I'm all for that.
Buzz Aldrin, of course, is one of the 12 human beings to walk on the moon. His new book, his program for future space exploration, is called Mission to Mars. Buzz Aldrin, thank you so much for joining us. What an honor to talk to you.
Thank you very much. It's been a pile of laughs.
It really has.
Thank you, Buzz.
Thank you so much. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Lumber Liquidators, offering a variety of sustainably harvested flooring, including pre-finished and stained at 1-800-HARDWOOD. Subaru, introducing the all-new 2014 Forester. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Learn more at Subaru.com. Carbonite, providing automatic cloud backup to keep photos, music, and other files safe from computer mishaps. Details at Carbonite.com. And Pimsleur Language Program, celebrating 50 years of teaching foreign languages. 50 languages are available at Pimsleur.com. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis, filling in for Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Bobcat Goldthwait. Faith Saley and Luke Burbank. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. In just a minute, the Blackhawks and the Bruins go once again to triple overtime in our Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Luke, a German banker has been cleared of any wrongdoing even after he made an unauthorized transfer of $293 million. Authorities say it happened when the banker did what?
He took a very, very brief nap and put his face down on the keyboard and transferred the money.
That's exactly what happened. So this is in Germany. We're talking euros. And he was supposed to be making a 62-euro transfer from a retiree. And the banker just put his head down. He fell asleep in the keyboard, specifically on the 2 key. So he entered in 222222222.22. Basically, 222 million euros. Had he slept 1 second longer, the mistake would have cost billions. The bank realized the error and sent a letter of apology to the retiree, which began semicolon, thanks to the bank cat walking across the keyboard.
Can you imagine any American, and I mean the people in this room, the people listening, giving back $200 million without a fight?
Well, I'm sorry, it's your error. I mean, you know.
Yeah. The Germans were like, oh, we see. It was a mistake. Here's your money back. Like, they're much more sort of by the rules than we are. You'd never see me again.
Plus,
I'd be in Colombia watching a telenovela on a mountain of cocaine.
The real difference is no American would take that short a nap. Luke, New York City's bike share program has faced a lot of harsh criticism since its unveiling a week or so ago, but several New Yorkers are taking advantage of the parked bikes by using them as what?
Well, I saw a photo, and the bikes look a little bit more, I don't know if they're just because lots of people are using them, they look kind of really rugged, like they're very thick metal construction. Are they bikes you ride, or is there any kind of a mechanical thing going on?
No, they're just regular bikes.
Look, like I live in New York. We use them as coasters for our supersized sugary soft drinks.
Right. Can I have a hint?
Well, I mean, it's true there's no shower or sauna, but it is cheaper than a ballast.
Oh, people are using them like a workout device?
Yes, they're getting on them while they're, instead of paying for them and riding them, they're getting on them and using them as stationary bikes. So the idea is, I mean, so like I said, the bikes are locked in place, right? And so instead of going to a spin class at your gym and paying for it, people are like finding things, hopping on them. It's the perfect solution for anyone who's complained that their gym is nice, but it doesn't smell enough like hot garbage and urine. Faith, nearly 100 years after Strunk and White wrote The Elements of Style, there's a new grammar guide out. It's an official style guide written for whom?
Oh, Lordy. Is it written for a genre of people?
Yes.
Are they human people?
They are.
Are they from the future?
They're not. They're from the present.
Can I have a hint?
Yes. Let's start by changing rock and roll to rock and roll.
For rock and rollers?
For musicians, yes. So have you ever rocked out to I Can't Get No Satisfaction by the Stones, but your heart keeps telling you it would rock so much harder if it were, I can't get any satisfaction. The music industry released its own grammar guide last month that answers questions like, should I use an ampersand when I collaborate with another artist? And is it okay to capitalize random letters in a title? And can I snort coke off of this book? And you may be thinking, music is poetry, lyrics are poetry, does it really matter? Well, I will say Pinball Wizard sounds way better now that it is sung by The Whom. Luke, later this month in London, a chef will serve a very special burger. The meat comes from where?
One of the Queen's corgis.
No.
Guys, it's locally sourced. I don't know. Can I get a hint?
Well, turn up the Bunsen burner. I like mine well done.
Oh, is it one of these sort of genetically created pieces of meat?
Yes,
in
it comes from the laboratory, yes. Say hello to Schmeet. Schmeet. It's what's for Schminner. Schmeat is a lab-grown meat from a team of researchers really good at science but really bad at naming things.
They're really calling it Schmeat?
They're calling it Schmeat. It's a guilt-free animal protein because there's no animals involved, right? When asked at the press conference to introduce what they've done, who came up with the name Schmeat, one scientist stood up and said, Schmee!
Each steak, eat a big old steer. Each steak, do we have one deer? Beep, it's a mighty good food. It's a great A-meeting when I'm in the mood. Eat a cow, cause it's good for you. Eat a cow, it's a thing that goes moo.
Coming up, it's lightning, fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website. That's waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our upcoming show at Tanglewood in Massachusetts at August 29th. Also, check out the latest How to Do Everything podcast this week. Ian and Mike show you how to win a face-off in the NHL using only your wits and your tongue. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Ann Newgard-Larson from Detroit Lakes, Minnesota.
From Minnesota? That sounds like a very Minnesotan name to me.
Oh, it is.
I can find myself slipping into my awful fake Minnesotan accent even as I talk to you. So what do you do there?
I'm a pastor.
Oh, that's nice.
My boots.
Ann, are you really a pastor?
Yes, I really am a pastor.
Do you ever curse?
Yes. When we hit the intersection of 494 and 694, my kids are so loud.
Well, welcome to our show, Ann. It is a pleasure to have you. Bill Curtis is now going to read you three news-related limericks with a last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and two of the limericks will be a winner. Ready to go?
Yes.
Here is your first limerick.
Our drink's aimed at a millionaire's daughter. I drink it chilled when the weather gets hotter. It's a shame at this price, too diluted with ice. We're selling some real high-end...
water.
Yes! Water! Nestle has just come out with premium water. It's like water, but it's more expensive. And compared with regular water, it's got way more of the word premium on the label. It's marketed to, quote, a woman who is a little more on the trendy side and higher income side, unquote, and who is a lot on the stupid side. Nestle says it's way clearer than low-end vulgar water and twice as wet. All right, here is your next limerick.
Not too long ago, Legos looked glad, but now they're all badass and rad. They look ready to fight and cause parents some fright. All the faces on Legos look...
mad.
Yes, they do, and yes, they do. According to the Guardian newspaper in Britain, the faces on little Lego guys have been getting angrier and sadder in the last two decades. Parents worry what it'll do to children, but think about it from the Lego guy's perspective. Wouldn't you be mad if every day you came home and somebody had reassembled your house into something else? And what if people kept stepping on you and swearing? Or if your knees wouldn't ever bend? Here is your last limerick.
For young fathers-to-be, this is slick. It's a belt that's tuned into your chick. The gadget reveals all the motion she feels. And you can also feel the kid...
kick.
Yes, indeed. Kick. Very good, Ann. Guys, have you ever looked at a pregnant woman and thought, I wish I could go through that? No? Huggies has developed a pair of belts that translate a baby's movements and kicks from the mother to the father, allowing him to experience what it's like to have a human being kicking you from the inside out. Huggies also developed a labor simulator, but so far no man has ever survived it. Bill, how did Ann do in our quiz?
Praise the Lord, she got all three right.
Oh, yes, indeed. On to our final game, Lightning Fill-in-the-Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
Luke and Faith are tied with 4 each. Bobcat has 1.
Thank you.
Okay, Bobcat, you're in third place. You're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. This week, the ACLU filed a lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of the NSA's blank program.
The fact that they've been tapping.
With the surveillance program,
sure,
yes.
Yeah, sure.
State Department officials denied this week that they had covered up allegations that employees had hired blank.
Prostitutes.
Right. On Wednesday, the U.S. Forest Service mobilized 2 Defense Department cargo planes to help fight the blanks in Colorado.
The fires.
Yes. Thanks to a typo, the AP referred to a social networking site called Blank.
Grammar check?
No, they referred to it as Google Puss. In what he thought were private remarks to a Latin American church group, Blank talked about the Vatican's, quote, gay lobby.
No, the Pope.
The Pope Francis, yes. The Thames Water Authority said that it has failed a British couple because for 8 months it has not been able to get rid of blank.
That gong.
No. The rat who keeps sticking his head out of their toilet. The rat who they call Roland. Roland the rat has been popping up in their toilet from time to time for 8 months now, and they can't figure out how to get rid of him. We've got one word for our British friends. Flush.
His name's Roland. Why would you want to get rid of Roland?
It's like, oh, he's so cute.
Yeah, I got to name him like Hitler, and then you don't mind flushing him.
Bill, how did Bobcat go in our quiz?
You know, the Bobcat got 4 right for 8 more points. He is in the lead.
Well done. Yeah. All right, we flipped a coin. Faith has selected to go next. Here you go, Faith, fill in the blank. In what he said was his final warning on Thursday, the Prime Minister of Blank ordered protesters to leave Taksim Square.
Turkey.
Right. The White House said Thursday that by using chemical weapons multiple times, Blank has crossed a red line.
Syria.
Right. The Obama administration announced it was dropping its lawsuit against over-the-counter availability of the blank.
Of the morning after pill?
Yeah, the morning after pill, yes. A British woman who found a live bomb from World War II in her garden called police, but only after she'd blanked first.
Detonated it.
No, washed it off in the kitchen sink. It was dirty. This week... This week, inexplicably famous quarterback Tim Tebow signed with his third NFL team, blank.
The Patriots.
Yes. And what Gallup says an all-time low, a new poll shows that only 10% of those asked have confidence in blank.
Congress.
Yes. The big story in the Nottingham Post newspaper this week was blank.
Robin Hood's here.
No. The big story in the Nottingham Post was, couple return from holiday to find grass by their street cut to different lengths.
How could I have known that?
I don't know. Bill and Sylvia Fenton returned home to find the grass on one side of the street terrifyingly taller than the grass on the other, according to a 500-word article with a multimedia slideshow in the Nottingham Post. Mogate, as it is being called, will dominate headlines for a while, at least until something else does not happen. Bill, how did Faith do?
Faith got 5 right for 10 more points and grabs the lead with 14.
Well done. All right, so how many then does Luke Burbank need to walk away with this thing?
All eyes have to be on Luke because
yes.
He needs 5 to tie, 6 to win.
All right, Luke, here we go. This is for the game. Border security became a sticking point this week as Congress began debating the proposed blank.
Budget?
No, immigration bill. On Thursday, the Supreme Court
ruled... So far, so good.
On Thursday, the Supreme Court ruled that naturally occurring human blank cannot be patented.
Genes.
Yes, DNA. The line of storms threatening millions from the Midwest to the East Coast did not develop into a blank, as forecasters warned this week.
Superstorm.
No, a derecho. Fans were angry when a British psychic had to cancel a live performance due to, quote, blank.
Unforeseen circumstances.
Exactly right. In an effort to compete with Twitter, the social networking site blank announced it was adding functional hashtags.
Facebook.
Right. In a twist that nobody saw coming, this week filmmaker blank revealed that he was the ghostwriter for the teen movie She's All That.
M. Night Shyamalan.
Exactly. A British girl traveling through Turkey with her parents made it through customs even though she was using a fake passport identifying her as blank.
Hillary Clinton.
No, the passport identified the young girl as a unicorn. Emily Harris's mother accidentally handed Turkish officials her fake toy unicorn passport instead of her real one, but they waved her right through, despite the fact that, unlike in the photo, she does not have a horn or a magical rainbow tail. When asked about the incident, Turkish officials were unapologetic. We assumed she was originally a unicorn, but had transformed. Bill, did Luke do well enough to win?
Luke did not. He needed 5, but got only 4. So, this week's winner is Faith.
There you are. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists, after Edward Snowden went to Hong Kong, who will be the next person to flee the country and why. But first, let me tell you that support for our Chicago shows is provided by Hyatt Hotels in downtown Chicago. Booking information is at Hyatt.com. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Arizona State University Online, more than 60 undergraduate and graduate online degree programs at radio.asu.edu. CarMax, offering more than 35,000 used cars and trucks online and in stores from coast to coast. Learn more at CarMax.com. Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and Progressive.com. And Kobo, providing ebooks and e-readers, including the Kobo Arc, available at independent bookstores, store locator at IndieBound.org. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, benevolent overlord. Philip Goedeker writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our assistant house manager is Tyler Green. Our intern is Miles Dorn. Who's the boss? Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Lester Larchick and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Lorna White. Special thanks this week to our friend Gary Yek. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. And the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Michael Danforth. Now, panel, who will flee the country next? Bobcat Goldthwait.
I thought it was who I wanted to leave.
I'd
hate to make it personal again, but every time I ego surf after I do this show, there's this one person that's really mad that I'm on the show that I always find commenting. And all I can say to this guy is like, hey, way to be all inclusive. Can a guy from Police Academy be on Wait, Wait? He really hurts my feelings.
Like, that's the guy you want gone.
Yeah, because he's always acting like I broke the show. I can't believe Bobcat Goldthwait from Police Academy was that Wait, Wait. It drives me nuts.
Good enough. Faith Saley.
As soon as she can move independently, the baby of Kim Kardashian and Kanye West will seek asylum to escape a life of indentured realitude.
And Luke Burbank.
Well, I was going to say the same person as Bobcat, but I'll come up with another one. Jailed 83-year-old gangster Whitey Bulger, just as soon as someone figures out how to bake a file into a bottle of heart medication.
And depending on that happens, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thanks also to Bobcat Goldthwait. Luke.
This is 90.3 WPLN, Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML, Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS, Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 12 o'clock.